We're on Daf Mem Hey Amud Beis, and we had a sugi yesterday in which we're trying to figure out, with regard to Bir Chametz, the case of a kneading bowl, as we called it, and there are pieces of batzek that are trapped in the crevices. And we quoted a machlokas tanoim in the case of Pasha Ipsha, and what he did with this Pasha Ipsha is yichdol yeshiva. He designated for a couch, so to speak, a seat, and it's called batla mitaras chametz. In any event, there's a tana that holds, even in a case of some large piece of chametz that's more than a kezias, if you designate it for a different purpose, it becomes betela. It's batel, and therefore it doesn't have a Torah's chametz, and you don't have to get rid of it. Now, in the case of the areva, when we had the kneading bowl, we divided up the kneading bowl into three different segments. There was the shule ha'areva, which means the bottom level. That's where we have to clog up the holes and the crevices in order to prevent the water from seeping out. And that's something that he wants to be mevatel, and therefore he does not need bir chametz. And that would apply even, according to Abai's understanding, in a kezias and more. Then we have the middle stage, which is the defanos of the areva, which are meaningful to plug up the crevices during the course of lisha, but it's not a permanent business. So therefore, it depends upon whether you have a kezias of chametz in one particular place in the crevice or less than a kezias. And finally, we have the top level of the areva, which is called the sfas areva. And here, the assumption is that even if you have pachos mikezias, it's not osu l'chazek, it doesn't in any way enhance the benefit and the function of the areva, and therefore it's always chayim and bir, even, as we said before, in pachos mikezias. What we didn't discuss yet is how this all impacts on the laws of chatzitza in a case of a kli that was contaminated, that was mekabel tumah, and now we have to be tovel it in a mikveh, whether or not we assume that this batzek that's trapped in the crevices of the bowl is considered a chatzitza. It's not chatzitza mirtz Hashem. We hope to get to that today. What we're up to today is Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is a further embellishment of Abaye that we just summarized now. So let's just make sure we have the place. It's in the wide lines, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down from the wide lines. Omar Rav Ashi, lo tema, shelo b'makom lisha. When we speak about shelo b'makom lisha, and we said that he violates Bal Yerobai Mutz, and he requires beer, even if the batzek is less than a kezias, that's only agaba di agna. Agaba, the gav of something, is the back of something. So he's talking about this areva, this kneading bowl, and he's talking about the outside lip of the areva. And in this case, since it's on the outside, it certainly doesn't add anything, this batzek, to the function of the kli, because it's on the outside of the kli. That's called al-gav ha-reva, gabo di agna. And therefore, any amount of batzek, no matter what the volume is, even if it's less than a kezias, it requires beer. And l'chora, we would say that it doesn't become part of the areva in any way, any shape, because it doesn't add anything. Ella, but this is wrong. Says Rav Ashi, asifsa diagna, even if it's on the inside of the rim of the areva, on the top of the areva, on the inside, where there is contact between the dough that he's kneading inside this bowl and the top of the rim, nevertheless, that batzek is not batel. Since it's on the rim, it doesn't aid in any way. It doesn't protect the water, prevent the water from going down. It doesn't prevent the parts of the dough from getting lost in the crevices. It is totally irrelevant. It doesn't benefit or add, enhance anything to the kli. It is not batel, and you're chayev in beer on this batek, even if it's less than a kezayis. The Gemara says, pshita, what is Rav Ashi coming to teach me? Why would I even entertain the difference between the agna on the outside and the agna on the inside? In both cases, it certainly doesn't enhance the kli, and he has no intention of leaving there. Certainly, he would be chayev in beer. So the Gemara now explains the Hava Mina. Mao the same, if not for Rav Ashi. I would have made a distinction between the Areva Mibachutz and the Areva Mibifnim. Because Mibifnim, on the inside of the Areva, that's called a Makom Lisha. And it could be that if it's a small amount of Batzek, of Chametz, on the inside of the Areva, then it's Batel. It is not something that you would even bother with. Just let it go, so to speak. And to add another compelling factor in equating it into the equation that we should calculate as to why the inside of the agna might be batel, zimnin di atif umate lahasam. On occasion, when he kneads his dough, he mixes the batzek inside the areva. If it's a sizable volume of dough relative to the size of the areva, then it could be that in the process of mixing, the dough reaches all the way to the top of this areva, of this bowl. And therefore, maybe it's considered makom lisha. We should equate it with the defanos, the middle section of the kli, and therefore whether you chayv in beer would be determined, would be dependent on whether you have a kezayis or you don't have a kezayis. If it's less than a kezayis, then we would say it's batel, it has no chshivus, it to some extent helps you in the functionality of this kli because sometimes the dough reaches all the way to the top, called mashmalon. That's what Rav Ashi wants to knock out of our head, that area of the kli all the way on top is not considered a makom lisha, and in no way, even if it has less than a kezayis, would it be batel to the kli, hence yochayev in biur. Now the Gemara wants to know, how do we paskin la locha la maisa in this machlokes, which we studied yesterday, between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and the Tanakama? Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav, halacha ki Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Which means that if you took a batzek, and it was a very sizable piece of chametz, and you designated it as a seat, then Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, you don't violate Bal Yerah Ba'imotze, it's batel, it no longer has a shame chametz, even if it's very large, it's a piece of furniture, it's not chametz. The Gemara says, "Eini va'amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ashi Amar Rav im toch paneh betit." Only if he takes this kupas, this little seat, and he smears on top of it a certain amount of cement, which improves and perfects this kli as a moshav to use as a seat, then betela, then it loses its shem chametz. But in this very primitive and early state of a kupas, before you did tochale betit, then I still look at a piece of batzek. It hasn't been covered by any sort of cement, and therefore, even though I designated it, but it still is chametz, and I'd have to get rid of it. Toch in, lo toch lo. And yet, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, we said his language was yichto le kupas. I'm sorry, yichta hakupas li yeshiva, which seems to indicate that at the very moment he designates it as a chair, as a seat, that is enough for him to be part of a beer, and it loses its shame chametz. So how do you reconcile, on the one hand, your psak, which is in the name of Rav, like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and another statement of Rav, or I should say in the name of Rav, that you require toch paneh, bitit. And the Gemara says, it's not a question. Why? Mind the Masli Ha, lo Masli Ha. According to the first lishon of the Gemara that we're studying now, there is a machlokas about exactly what Rav's position was. And both statements of Rav were quoted by later Amoraim. In the case of Rav Nachman, we come to the conclusion that there's an absolute psak and acceptance. We rule like Rav Shimon ben Elazar in all cases. We don't need tochel ebetit. But then we have Rav Yitzchak bar Ashi's understanding, the way he transmitted the words of Rav, we need tochel ebetit. So the psak of Rav, like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, is really up in the air. There are two, there's a debate between two Amoraim as to how to transmit the final ruling of Rav. Did he accept Rav Shimon ben Elazar hook, line, and sinker, and we don't require any strings, any conditions, namely tochel panel betit? Or do we accept Rav Shimon ben Elazar, but only in a middle stage, only in a case where the bittel was so profound that he literally buried the chametz under a layer of cement? And, this reminds me of different things in my youth about, taking something and cementing it. That was the way that you finally buried it, so to speak. Ika di Amri, there's another way or version of Rav Nachman. We have Rav Nachman or Rav Halacha, Kirab Shimon Elazar. We have now a new version. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ein Halacha Kirab Shimon Elazar, just the opposite. And Rav Nachman here was standing on the shoulders of Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashi, because Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashi said that you're not able to be mafkia the shem chametz towards chametz simply by yichud, just by designating it. You need tochel ebetit. And based on that statement, Rav Nachman said, we don't paskin, we don't accept Rav Shimon Elazar. He would not require tochel ebetit. The Omer Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashi, Omer Rav, this is the reliable version of Rav, and that is in toch panei betit betela, and only in a case where tochel ebetit is it batel. Lo tochel ebetit, it's not batel. And now, what we gain by this Lishna Basra, this Ika di Amri, is that there's no machlokas amoraim as to what Rav's opinion was in terms of transmitting Rav, but rather they both agree that we paskin not like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And we're coming really closer now to paskin like the Tanakama, because if we go back to the original machlokas about Pasha Ipsha, so the Brisa had quoted earlier here on Daf Mem Heyam and Beis, the Tanakama is saying that Chayav Levayer. But even so, it was only Chayav Levayer because this pas can be used L'chamea Ba Isos Acheros. It has the din of CR because it can be used as a fermenting agent. If it ceases to function in that capacity, even the Tanakam would agree that it's batel mitaras chametz. Rav Shimon Gamliel says no, once he was miyached it as a makom yeshiva, then it's no longer mekuyemes lachila, now it's batel mitaras chametz. And therefore Rav Shimon Elazar says, you don't need tochel ebetit. But it's quite possible that the final psak is like the Tanakama, because the Tanakama would agree that you cannot describe or classify the Pasha Ipsha as Ru'il Shochakaba Ulchameba Kama Isos Acheros in a case of Tochel Ebetit. Now, at this point, the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah establishes that if when you plug up these crevices in the kneading bowl with batzek, with pieces of chametz, if there's a kezayis in one particular crevice, then you're chayv levayer. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, shnei chatzoi zesim. Is there a situation, asks Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel, where even though you have only a chatzi zayis in one particular crevice, But nevertheless, we can be mitzaref that chatzi zayis with another chatzi zayis and generate a chi of biyu. And what is the case? Chut shel botzek beinehem. Although there are two different crevices in the walls of the Areva, because again, when I say the walls of the Areva, I'm trying to explain why a chatzi zayis is a problem unless you mitzaref with another chatzi zayis. If it was in the shulei akdera, we established that it becomes part of the kli, and there's no chi of biur, even if it's more than a kezayis. So this distinction of chatzi zayis is relevant to what we call the dofnei ha-arev, as we discussed yesterday. That means the sides of this bowl. So now he has a chatzi zayis in one tzedek on the side of the bowl, a chatzi zayis in another tzedek, but he has a string, so to speak, of botzek, which links the two together. This is just al derech hamashal. Don't think I'm trying to make an analogy here at all. But this reminds me of the issue in Lecha Mishnah. You know, you have segments of sliced breads, and the question is that called a shalem? You know, you need a shlema for Lecha Mishnah. So the answer is that if they're attached one to the other, again, I'm not paskening, I'm just saying, theoretically, if there's an adhesive attachment of the different pieces of bread, which could happen in many different scenarios, then it's considered shalem. Here we have two chatzi zesim with an adhesion, so to speak, between them. There's a piece of batzek that connects them together. Now, getting back to my model of Lecha Mishnah, so the poskim write, again, not la'alochim, I'm just saying, the poskim write that what you do is, in order to determine whether it's a sholem or not, is you hold one part, one end of the loaf, and see what happens to the rest of the loaf. If by lifting up the left side of the pas, the entire pas goes, is lifted with it, then it's called a shlema. But if it falls apart, then it's considered a prusa, and it's excluded. And I only use this as a model of sabra sa'oz, because we have something similar here. Roim. Roim means we should examine. How much of a chibur do we have by virtue of this chut shel batzek b'neim? Kol she'ili notel ha'chut v'nitolim imo. Right, you have two sides of a chatzi zayis or botzek. You pull up the chut, and guess what? Both sides, each chatzi zayis, gets lifted with it. In that case, chayav levayer, we define that chut shel botzek as a mechaber, meaning it now creates a tziruf between each chatzi zayis as if you had a full zayis in one crevice. And therefore you're chayav and beer in lav. But if when you lift up this chut that is connected to two chatzi zesim on both sides, and they all fall down, then eino chayav levayer. The chut is not an agent of tziruf, and therefore it's pachus mikazayis in the case of in the case of dofen ha-areva, and you're not chayav in biur, because you're left with less than a zayis of but. Omar ula lo amaron. We only say that that this case where the two sides of the chatzi zayis on each side fall apart, and therefore each chatzi zayis is a separate entity, and it does not require biur. Ela, you can only be mekil. That's if the chatzoi zayisim are ba'areva, they are inside a kneading bowl. And if they're in a kneading bowl, there's no reason to anticipate that he would take half a zayis of batzek from one crevice and combine it with the other crevice. Again, if the chut of batzek that combines them lifts up both of them, that's a different story. But if it doesn't, then we really have a permanent separation here between each chatzi zayis. Av ol bebayis. What happens in the case of the karka, the floor of a house? He's got two chatzi zesim of botzek that are resting or lying down on the karka of his bias in two different places, then chayv levayr, there is a tziruf between these two chatzizesim in the karka bias, even in the absence of a chut hametzarif. My taima, what's the reason why we should make such a distinction in terms of the bias as opposed to the areva? Zimnin de kunish lehu v'nafal v'nafli gabi hadadi. When they clean up the floor of the house, then what's going to happen is they gather together these two zesim, chatzi zesim, into one place. And one chatzi zayas inevitably falls on top of the other, and therefore he's now holding on to a complete kizayas of chametz on Pesach, and that siruf is very very much anticipated, it's very common, and therefore he's chayv in birur, even though right now, at this present moment, there is no tziruf between the two chatzi zeisim. Okay then. Now, before we go on to Ula, I want to mention a summary of Tosfos. And it seems that many of the Rishonim have accepted Tosfos. The word lechazek, when we talk about the batzek that's trapped in the crevices of the areva, that word refers to the areva itself. In other words, it strengthens the areva because it protects the mayim from dripping through the crevices, or the isa from entering into those crevices on the side of the areva. And that's, generally speaking, the way we understand this sugya of areva and the batzik. However, there is another possibility in understanding abaye, according to other Rishonim. And what we're going to do is, we're going to talk about two different places in the areva that are separated one from the other. We have, number one, something that's called makom lisha, right? That's where the kneading of the dough takes place, and the isa comes in contact with the areva while he's kneading the dough. Then we have something called shelo b'makom lisha, and we said that means the top part of the kli, of the areva, that is above the makom lisha. And the first brisa speaks about a batzek that shelo b'makom lisha, which means that if it's pachos b'kizayis, he's not chayv in biur. And what that means, it's shelo b'makom lisha. It's irrelevant, according to this approach, whether it's asui lechazek or eino asui lechazek. If it's shelo b'makom lisha, according to these Rishonim, we could have a possibility of lechazek, and therefore, if it's a kezias, then he's chayv in bir. If it's less than a kezias, he's potter from bir, even though it's shelo b'makom lisha. In other words, these Rishonim are trying to differentiate in the terminology between two different phrases. There's one phrase called asui lechazek. There's another phrase of b'makom lisha. And the nafkamina is that if these two phrases mean two different things, then, at least conceptually, we can understand that you could have a case where it's shelo b'makom lisha, and yet it's asui lechazek. If you follow what I mean, we were always identifying shelo b'makom lisha as eino asui lechazek. Now we have a possibility, by differentiating between these two phrases and these two terms, that you might have a case which is shelo b'makom lisha, but it's asui lechazek. And the nafkamina would be that even though it's shelo b'makom lisha, according to these Rishonim, if I grant you that it's osi lechazik, that if it's a less than a kezayis, then it's eno chayav bibiu. If eno osi lechazik, on the other hand, if it has two strikes against you, it's shalom v'makom lisha, and it's eno osi lechazik, then chayav levayer, even if it's less than a kezayis. And that's the presentation of the first brisa. The second brisa is talking about batzek b'makom lisha. And in such a case, if there's a kezayis batzek b'makom lisha, chayav levayer, afilu im asui lechazek. So what it means is that we have now two strikes against it. Number one, it is b'makom lisha, and number two, it is a kezayis of chametz. And again, since we're differentiating between makom lisha and osi lechazik, those are two different concepts, two different terminologies. Therefore, you could have a situation where it's b'makom lisha, and yet we're going to say that even though it's b'makom lisha, it's chayav levayer. Why? Because it has a kezayis of chametz. So it's if it has a kezayis, then despite the fact that it's in a makom lisha, according to the second brisa, he's got to get rid of this chametz. It's only if it's less than a kezayis, and then it depends upon whether it's osi lechazek or not osi lechazek. If it's osi lechazek, it's potter because it is pachas mikezayis. If it's eno osi lechazek, then he's chayav in birur, even though it's pachas mikezayis. And it comes out, according to this presentation, these Rishonim, paradoxically, or shall I say counterintuitively, that makom lisha generates more of a chumrah. Why is that so? Why are we being more machmir in the second brisa? Because it's b'makom lisha, and we were more mekil in the first brisa when it was shalom b'makom lisha. That's counterintuitive. And the Rishonim say, Shema kishayelush be'areva isa acheres yidabek bi'osa batek le'isa. In other words, when he's going to take this kneading dough and knead another dough in the same bowl, then what's going to happen is that the makom lisha now, where he has real chametz, is now going to connect with the isa that he's now kneading. And as a result, the isa that he's kneading now is going to be bolea the tam of the batzik. And therefore, dafka, paradoxically, because it's b'makom lisha, we have to be machmir. We always use b'makom lisha as a sibas hakula, to be mafkia bir, because since it's b'makom lisha, it's helpful. And he needs that batzek to serve the kli as a plug-up of the kriya. This now is saying that dafka, because it's b'makom lisha, that's going to create a problem, because when he uses this kneading bowl a second time around, then the new Isa, the second Isa, is going to be bolea the tam of the chametz that's in the walls of the kli b'makom lisha. But in a case of shalom b'makom lisha, then which is the first brisa, so since the batek is shalom b'makom lisha, then we have the kula of pachos mikizayis. He's not chayav to be mevirid, even though it's not osu lechazik esakli. Why? Because it's shalom b'makom lisha. The second brisa of b'makom lisha is worried about the time of the batzeh going into the second isa. The first brisa is not talking about that mitzius. It's shalom b'makom lisha. So you've neutralized the problem of the blia going from the batzeh into the new isa. And then you can determine based on one factor only. That's going to be the only factor to consider here, and that is whether it's a kezayis or pachas mikezayis. If it's pachas mikezayis, it's eno chayav bebir, even though it's not osi lechazek. And the Meiri seems to present this second approach. Okay, now we have ula. Omar Ula Bo Bimar Rava, there was a suffek in Eretz Yisrael about the following case. He's got now a bias, and he has a half a zayas on the ground floor of the house. He's got a half a zayas of chametz ba'aliyah on the top floor of his house. Mahu. Should we be as afraid that while he's cleaning his house, somehow the chametz on the top will fall down into the ground floor, and there'll be a chibur between each chatzi zayas? The tziruf to a kezayas is going to require a chiyuv biur. What should we say? No, we don't have to worry about a batzek that's on the second floor that'll fall down to the batzek on the ground floor. And here, Tosfos and other Rishonim are going to ask the question from the Gemara of Rava back on Daf Yud. For those who are involved in Daf Yomi, that was yesterday's Daf. And Rava has a kezayis up on a rafter. And the question is whether you chayv in bedika. And Rava says we're afraid that that kezayis might fall down from the rafter. And therefore, you might come to eat it and you chayv in biur. So the suffix here that Ula transmits is very similar to the discussion about Rava. The Rishonim are going to try to differentiate between the two. And you have chametz up in aliyah, and we're afraid that maybe the chatzi zayis of chametz ba'aliyah will fall down and connect with the batek that's on the ground of the bayis. And now Ula says, okay, you'll tell me we don't have to be choshesh for that. You know, that it would fall down exactly on top of the chatzi zayis on the ground floor, that we don't have to worry about. Even Rava and Kikar b'shmei Korah, he didn't tell you that we're afraid that the Kikar is going to fall down on a specific spot. But I have another suffix. Bias, and you now have a chatzi zayis in the bias, and achsadra, you have another chatzi zayis in the achsadra. So in front of the house, they had an area that was roofed. It was open. Well, here's machlokes rishonim. Some say it was open on all four sides. Some say it was open on one of the four sides. But in any event, it has a lot of openings. So there are plenty of psachim and chalonos. Mahu. Here, perhaps, there's more of a chashash that the achsadra is an extension of his bias, and when he cleans up his bias, and there are no mechitzos that separate the bias from the achsadra, you go right into the achsadra because it's open. Let's assume it's open on all four sides, held up by poles. And this was a Gemara in Erevin that we once discussed. So therefore, whenever you go into the house, you go in through the achsadra, and that halachically, again, if I want to conceptualize this Gemara, forgetting about the mitzius of tziruf, will it fall, will it connect, will it not, but just on a theoretical level, we define the achsadra as an extension of the bayis, and we've just established in the name of Ula that if you have a chatzi zayis in the bayis on the karka, and the chatzi zayis in the bayis on another part of the karka, then he's got to get rid of it because we're considering it as all one. It's mitzuraf because when he cleans it up, they connect it together. Same thing should apply to an achsadra, which is an extension of the bayis. You know, it reminds me, in contemporary life, it's very frequent, it's very common that people add on an extra room to the house. Again, whether they get a permit for that or not, I don't know. But they add an extension. There's another word for it, I don't know. But anyway, they break the wall and they extend into the backyard or wherever it is. So that for sure would be part of the bias. What about the achsadra? The achsadra is in front of the bias, and no one gets access to the bias unless they go around the back door without going through the achsadra. So that makes the achsadra an extension of the bayis, and it doesn't have its own mechitzos. If it had its own mechitzos, so he builds what's called a beis shar. The Gemara very often talks about a separate little house that's in front of his house, or behind his house. That's a separate bayis. Or shall we say no, that the bayis and achsadra are two different batim. The achsadra is a separate independent bayis unto itself. And we'll call it P. Tikri Yard Vesosa. So the Gemara says that we don't know if it's Shnei Batim Zeh Lifnim Mizeh, shall we consider it as if you have what's called a pnimi and a chitzoni? You know, you have two sides of a house, the outer side and the inner side, and it's all part of one. Or should we say, no, it's kishnei batim? Mao, teku. We have no answer to this question. This suffix in Eretz Yisrael, which was quoted by Ula, has no definite conclusion to it. So what do we do, halacha l'maisa, in such a case? Rabbi Chananel writes, teku de isura l'chumra. We have to be machmir, and therefore, in the case where you have a chatzi zayis of chametz in the bayis, and another chatzi zayis of chametz in the achsadra, you are chayev in bir. The Rambam, on the other hand, paskins that he's not chayev levayer, but rather he's mevatel belibo v'dayo, he says bittel. And the commentaries on the Rambam say that once he does bittel, then he reduces this suffix to a derabbanan, because midaraisa bittel ba'al masagi. And once he does bittel, we can apply the principle of suffix derabbanan le'kula. Now, is there a machlokas here between Rabbi Chananel and the Rambam? I doubt it. The Rabbi Chananel says kol teku di isura l'chumra, but he probably means kol teku di isura d'oraisa l'chumra, because if it's a teku in an isura d'rabbanon, then we should apply the principle of safek d'rabbanon l'kul. Now, we've discussed chametz she'eno roi l'achila. And the Gemara now quotes a braisa on this topic. Ton Rabbanon, a pasha ipsha v'nifsala milecha li adam ve'akelev yachal li ochla. This is such a common situation where you have a piece of chametz. It's no longer edible for human consumption, but the animals will eat it. Does the fact that it's no longer humanly edible, does that remove, undermine the status of the chametz as chametz? Or should we say no? Since the animals still eat it, that's enough to retain its shem chametz. And the braisa now assumes an analogy to tuma v'tara, which means that we have what's called ochel, and ochel can receive tumas ochel. Let's say, for example, if you had an av hatumah, which is metame, let's say somebody came in contact with a mess, so he's metame, not just on a vekelim, but ochel and umashkin. Or, for example, a sheretz falls on an ochel and all of the above. So again, in a case of ochel, what would you say about something which is nifsal miachilas adam, but eino nifsal miachilas kelev? Does it have a shame ochelin, or does it not? And the nafkamina is going to be whether it's tame or not. And we'll extrapolate from that enough gemina legabe chametz. So the braisa establishes that metama tumas ochlin bikebeitza. The shear of ochlin, the minimum shear for kabbalas tuma, is kebeitza. And this shear and the laws of tuma will apply to the pasha ipsha, even though it is nifsal miachilas adam, because akelev ochla. It means that it retains its status as an ochel. Therefore, if it retains its status as an ochel, then we would have to assume that it is a chametz, it's Torah's chametz olav, and therefore you'd have to get rid of it. And all this is because it's royal achilas kelev. Now, I have to tell you, Rabosai, on this is a tremendous literature, because the Rishonim are not happy with this braisa at all. We have a principle in Macholas Asuros called Nevela Aruya Leger Shmei Nevela, but Nevela Shein Aruya Leger Lav Shmei Nevela, which means that if you have Nevela that's not Royal Achilas Adam, I mean, the dogs will love it, like Elv Tashlichet also, but it's not considered a nevela as far as these nevela is concerned. It's a royal achilas adam. In fact, the entire concept or principle of tam lifgam is built on, predicated on, this principle of nevela shein aruya leger. We don't require that it be nifsal to the extent that it's Eder Royal Achilas Kelet. So again, as I'm just giving you a little bit of a preview, I'm hoping that we'll get into this whole sugya, but how to reconcile this brisa with a principle that's established in the Masechta Chulin, that Nevela is also only because it's really Ger, when we're talking about Achilas Adam, that's going to be an issue, and the Rishonim are going to address it. Okay. Now, what if this Pascha Ipsha is Truma? Which means that before it became Upash, it was Truma Tahora. Is Nisrefes Imatmea B'Pesach? Pesach here means Erev Pesach, means Shoshishis. Now, wait a second. You're going to take Truma Tahora and you're going to burn it together with Truma Tmea. That doesn't make any sense. To go ahead and be Metame Truma Tahora B'Yadayim by throwing it into this, this big barrel where you're gonna turn on a fire and burn your chametz. How are you allowed to do such a thing? So this, as you may know, is one of the most complicated sugyas in Masechta Psachim, at least, if not beyond, and that's called Rav Chanina Sgan Kohen. And what happens is that in that sugya, there are Tanoim who went as far as saying that you're allowed to take Truma Tahora in the sixth hour on Erev Pesach and burn it together with Truma Tmea, despite the fact that you're causing the Truma Tahora to become Tomei. And the reason you're allowed to do this is because it's Holech Le'ibut, since it's the sixth hour. There's nothing you can do with this Truma, which is Chametz at all. All you have to do is burn it. Therefore, there's no Issa to be Metame Truma Tahora if it's a Truma that's Holech Le'ibut. So imagine, just again, Lesabras Ozen, you had Truma that was falling from the heavens into a fire. And before it fell into the fire, you would put a sheretz on the Truma before it landed. So that would be mutter, because there's no Issa to be Metame Truma, which is considered Holech Le'ibut. And here also, we have a case of Pascha Ipsha. And we say that Pascha Ipsha is Chametz, you have to get rid of it. And the reason for that is because it's Eino Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev. And therefore, you can take Truma Tahora and burn it with Truma Tmeah on Pesach, on Erev Pesach of the Shah Shishis. It's not Ru'il Adam. And since it's not edible for a person, it's Mutal Etama B'Yadayim. You're allowed to be Metame it directly. And even though the Torah says Mishmeres Trumosai, and that's a pasuk in Bamidbar Yudches from which the Gemara in Bechoros derives the conclusion that you're not allowed to be Metame Truma Tahora, but in Erev Pesach, you're allowed to burn Trumas Chametz Tahora together with Truma Tmea, even though as a result you're being Metame the Truma Tahora B'Yadayim, but Kevon Shachametz Asur. Now, we have to assume that it's Asur both Bachila and Behana. So let's take, for example, the beginning of the seventh hour, where the Chametz, even on a Doraisa level, is Asur Behana. And that means that there's nothing you can do with this, there's no benefit you can get from this Truma if it's the seventh hour and it's Chametz. Is therefore, it's like Tuma. Why? Because Tuma, what's the din of the status of Truma Tmeah? You have to burn it. Here, because it's Truma's Chametz, even though it's Tahori, you have to burn it. And it has the same status as Truma Tmeah, which has to be burnt. Avol b'shas habir. Let's go back to the sixth hour, where chametz is only also midrabbanan. Is here we have a machlokas tanoim in the Mishnah of Rab Chanina Skan Kohanim. Is it considered like a truma tmeya, and you're allowed to burn it therefore with tmeya? And that is the opinion, in fact, of Rabbi Meir in that Mishnah. And Rabbi Yossi says it's awesome. You have to burn it on its own, separately. Why? Because you cannot be goreim tumah. You can't cause the truma Torah to become truma tmeya. That would be a violation of Mishmeres Trumosai. And this despite the fact that it's also by Noah, because Shoshishis is only Darabonah. On a Daraisa level, it's not Omei Le'ibud, because it's Mutabai Noah in the sixth hour. Hence, Rabbi Yossi says, it's not like Truma Tmeya, it's not considered Omei Le'ibud on a Daraisa level, and therefore you're enjoined from being Goreim Tumah, from being Metame. Now, the Braisa tells us that Rabbi Nosson disagrees. It says, Mishum Rabbi Nosson Amru Eino Metama. Rabbi Nosson is saying that once it's Nifsal Ameachilas Adam, it loses its shame Ochel, and it doesn't receive Tumah. Kiman Azal Hodisnan. We have a Mishnah in the 8th pack of Taros that Klal Omru B'Taros Kolam Yuchad Li'Ochel Adam Tomei Achi Posel Milechol Kelev. Meaning that even though it is Posel from Achilas Adam, nevertheless, that's not enough. It has to become posel mi lechol li adam. Now the language of the Mishnah says kol amiyuchad li ochel adam. What that means is that at one point in time, it was designated for human consumption. It was roi lachila. At that point, it has a shem ochel. Now you want to remove the shem ochel. You have to go to the other extreme. To remove the shem ochel, it's got to be nifsal meachilas kelev. Because Rabbi Nosson holds that once it's posel miachilas adam, then it's not tome, even though it's still roi leachilas kel. Now, the Braisa says that if you have chametz, which is edible for a dog, then it still could be burned together with Truma Tahora on Erev Pesach. And the reason for that is that if the Kelev could not eat it, then he's not Chayv in Biu. And therefore it's not Omeid Le'ibud. But since the Kelev could eat it, hence, he's chayv in biur, and therefore he's allowed to mix truma tahora in this pot together with this chametz, this pasha ipsha, that is edible to a kelev. Do you see where there's interdependency? Let's just go over that one more time. Since it's roi lachilas kelev, therefore it's holich le'ibud. If it's Truma Tahora, I could still burn it together with Tmeya, even though I'm causing Tumah, because it's Holech Le'ibud. And why is it Holech Le'ibud? Because it's Roy Lachilas Kelev. And this is the Gaonim, the Shitas HaGaonim. It's quoted in the Rif, it's quoted in the Magid Mishnah at the beginning of Hilchas Chametz U'Matzah. So again, just to summarize the Shitas HaGaonim, once the Pasha Ipsha can be established as Roy Lachilas Kelev, it becomes Nitvas, it becomes included in the Mitzvah of Biur, which is a Chumrah, obviously, but the good news is, the Kula of it is, that now, what I'd be allowed to do is, if this Pasha Ipsha is Truma Tahora, I could burn it in the sixth hour together with Tuma, with something that's Tmeya. I don't have to care about being Goreim Tuma to the Truma Tahora, because the Truma Tahora is Holech Le'ibud. And why is it Holech Le'ibud? Because it's Roy Lachilas Kelim. That's the Rif and that's the Gaon. Now we go on to the Ritva, who quotes the Ra'ah. Shemefaresh, Shema Shemavua Bebraisa Shapaslo Nifsal Mechilas Kelev, Hu Rakle Inyan Tumas Ochlin. This is a separate halacha, says the Ra'ah, in Tumas Ochlin. And Tumas Ochlin, you only remove the Shem Ochel when it's Nifsala Me'achilas Kelev. If it's still edible to your dog, it has and retains its Shem Ochel, and therefore it's Makabel Tumah. Avol Inyan Biur. But as far as a Chiyuv Biur of Chametz is concerned, Misha Nifsala Me'achilas Adam Ptura mea biur. That's biur with an ayin. Now we need a biur with an olive. And the biur with an olive is that according to the Ra'ah, we're going to take the principle of nevela ru'uya leger to the exclusion of a nevela shena ru'uya leger, and we're going to apply it to chametz. You want to know whether you chayv in biur with an ayin? That depends upon whether it's nifsal achilas adam. Once it's nifsal achilas adam, it's ainu ruya leger. And if it's ainu ruya leger, we have a universal principle that that's mafkia macholas asuros. I in tuma. Tuma needs a shem ochel. It has a shem ochel. But it's not a cheftu di sura unless it's an avela ruya leger. And the truth of the matter is that when we read this brisa, according to the Ra'ah, we really have to split the brisa into two parts. The first part of the brisa, the Reisha, addresses the issue of Tumas Ochlin exclusively. That's all we're talking about, is Tumas Ochlin. And that's going to be determined about by the question of whether it's Roy Lachilas Kelev or not Roy Lachilas Kelev. If it's Roy Lachilas Kelev, it has a Shem Ochel, and it's Metami Tumas Ochlin. The Seifa of the Brice of Nisrefes Imat Mea BePesach, which refers already to Chametz on Erev Pesach and the issue of whether there's a Chiyuv Biur, which again has an impact obviously on Tuma, because if there's a Chiyuv Biur, then it's Omeid LeIbud. And now we're going to say the determining factor is whether it's Roy Lachilas Adam. And if it's Eino Roy Lachilas Adam, despite the fact that it's Roy Lachilas Kelev, it's Holech Le'ibud, it's Chayiv in Biur. What do you mean it's Chayiv in Biur? Why is it Chayiv in Biur, says the Ra'ah? I don't understand. The Gaonim say, well, it's Chayiv in Biur. Hence, there's no problem of burning it together with Tmea, even though the Truma here, this Pashipsha, is Tahora, because it's Chayiv in Biur. Says the Ra'ah, well, who says it's Chayiv in Biur? Ah, because the Reisha of this Braisa is addressing a case of Mitame, of Akelev Yochel Yochla. Says the Ra'ah, I'll read it one more time, that Le'inyan Biur, Misha Nifsala Me'achilas Adam, Ptura Me'abiur. So now, the Ra'ah is going to tell you that you need Chametz, where there's a violation of Chametz, to generate a Chiyuv Biur, and then you can allow for burning this Truma Tmeya because it's Chametz, even though you're being Goreim Tuma, because it's Holech Le'ibud. But in order to be Holech Le'ibud, it's got to be Chametz. And the Ra'ah insists that in order to be Chametz, it has to be Roy Lachilas Adam. If it's not Roy Lachilas Adam, he's not Chayiv in Biur. So the Rava is going to have to tell you that this Sefer of Nisrefes im Hatmeh B'Pesach means that Yechayv in Biur. When are Yechayv in Biur? Says the Rava, when it's Royal Achilas Adam. The second part of the Brisa is not at all interested in differentiating between Royal Achilas Eino Roy, Nifsalam Yechilas Adam, and Roy Lachilas Kelev. That whole distinction is irrelevant. Because, as far as Biur Chametz is concerned, which is going to be the matir here to be Metami the Truma Torah, it makes no difference whether it's Roy Lachilas Adam, right, Nifsalam Yechilas Adam, and Roy Lachilas Kelev or not. Forget about that whole distinction. Once it's Eino Roy Lachilas Adam, Nifsalam, that itself automatically is mafkia the shame chametz, and there's no chiv biur, and then you clearly would not be allowed to burn it together with something that's tameh, because then you're causing tuma to truma tahora. And therefore, the only heter to burn this truma tahora together with tmeah on Erev Pesach Shas Shishis is only if it's Roy Lachilas Adam. Since it's Roy Lachilas Adam, therefore, it is included in the Chiyuv Biur. I wrote myself a note on the side. This is my own chicken scratch. Aval kol shalo nifsala hapas me'achilas kelev. According to the Gaonim, we're going back to the Gaonim. And then we'll have the Ra'ah. According to the Gonim, Kol Shalom Nifsala Miachilas Kelev Chayev Levaro. And now the question is, what do we do with the principle of Nevela Shein Arui Leger? How do the Gonim, which is the Rif Shita, how do we reconcile that with the whole sugya of Nifsala Me'achilas Adam and Roy Leger, Nevela Shein Arui Leger? So the answer to this question, and this is not my own original chiddush, this is the Ran is going to say this. The answer to that question goes back to an earlier brisa of Pasha Ipsha on the top of Daf Mem Heyam and Beis. And that was the brisa of Rav Yosef. What did Rav Yosef say? The Sanya Hapashib Shachayv Levayer. Why? Not because it's Ruuya Lachilas Kelev, but Mimnesha Ruuya Lashochaka Ulachamea Ba Kama Isos Acheros. Again, there's going to be a leap of faith over here. And this is the Ran's leap of faith. The Ran is going to say that according to the Gaonim, why does the Chiv Biur contingent-wise depend upon Roy Lachilas Kelev or not? For a different reason. And that is because it becomes CR with a separate Iser of CR because it's Roy Lachamea Bo Isos Acheros. But Medvar Mamurim says the Ran in explaining the Gonim, when do we say it's Roy Lechamea Bo Isos Acheros? That's only in a case where it's edible for a dog. If it's already inedible even for a dog, then it's not going to be a leavening agent, as we discussed yesterday, and therefore it's not CR. But comes along the Gaonim, and the Rif accepts it, and they say that even though in general, for as far as other Macholas Asurus like Nevela is concerned, once it's Nifsal Me'achilas Adam, then it's no longer included in Nevela. That's not going to be the case for Chametz, because Chametz, in addition to the Lav of Chametz, is another Lav in the Torah of Kol Siar Lol Tochlu. And Siar includes even something that's not edible for human consumption, but it is a leavening agent, and therefore it has the same Siar, and you got to get rid of it because it's Siar, and Siar is considered Chametz. However, if it's Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev, then at that point already it's not Roy Lechamea Bo Isos Acheros. And that's the way we can perhaps understand the Shitas HaGaonim.
And the language of the Ran, when it's already nifsala mi'achilas kelev, is that it's ka'afra bi'alma, which means it's eno chayav levaro, because it's eno roi l'chameh bo isos acheros, it's ka'afra. So even though nevela shein ruya l'ger is already not considered nevela, even though it's only nifsala mi'achilas adam, it could be that with regard to chametz, we have the separate din of roi l'chameh bo es ha'isos. Okay, then, Amirtz Hashem, we'll stop here with Tanur Rabbanan Arevas Ha'abdonim, which is a hemshech of Asugya, and we'll pick that up tomorrow.